have a copy of each one of these. This is something I'm putting in your hands. I'm going to go over this tonight with you. But this is something that you can take home with you. Hopefully you can fold it up, put it in your Bible, just remember it. I had something else prepared to give tonight. And while I was here at work today, the Lord directed me to this. I've given this before here, but when I got this today, I wasn't looking for it or anything like that, and the Lord just brought it to my attention, and I felt impressed of the Lord just to give these simple thoughts to you tonight. These are thoughts that are, you're not going to be shocked by any of them. It's stuff that you know, it's stuff that you've heard, it's stuff that you've maybe even grown up hearing. These are things that I trust that you will keep before you this year. And these are just some simple thoughts I want to leave with you. I want you to turn your Bible to Psalm 90, and wait on me there. We're going to be turning to several passages of Scripture tonight, several passages, and we're going to start in Psalm 90 when we get to the first letter there of our acrostic. I'm speaking tonight on what to do this year. What to do this year. And when we get everybody that has one of these and we're ready, we'll pray together and so on. The shorter sheet, I call this Pastor, the shorter sheet, and call this Joe, the taller sheet, and so on, and all this kind of stuff. The shorter sheet, if you'll notice this, is something that Brother Bob Mann has made, apparently, and so on. I thought this would be good. This is a great question that the Apostle Paul asked the Lord when he was stopped there on the road. He said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" And these are things that we're not telling you what to put down, but I hope that you'll take that and write some things down, things that you believe the Lord would have you to do this year. And this could be a prayer sheet for you. This could be something that's a goal-oriented sheet, if you will. And just ask the Lord to help you to reach these things. All right, does everybody have one or both of them? Anybody not have one or the other? Anybody? Everybody up in the balcony's got it, right? Okay. Okay, let's pray together, and I'm going to share this thought with you, what to do this year. Father, we love you tonight. I pray that you'll help me as I teach. May you be pleased, may you be praised, and may everything that's said and done bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Would you speak to our hearts now as we look at these simple thoughts, just simple truth tonight. Thank you for these reminders. Thank you for leading me to this. And Lord, I pray that you help me to teach it now in clarity, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm gonna read this, at least some of this, and then I'm sure you know me, I'll go off here a little bit and so on. The Lord has truly been good to each and every one of us. He is a wonderful Savior who's faithful to His precious Word, and He's brought us to a new year in which we should be challenged to live for Him. After all, without Him, we would not have another breath. And in order to help with this, I want to do something a little bit different tonight. On this last day of 2014, I want us to consider the acrostic New Year, in which I'm going to bring out something for every letter for God's children to put into practice this year. Now, what I'm going to bring out to you is by no stretch of the imagination exhaustive. In other words, these are not everything that you need to do. These are not all the things that you need to do this year. But if you'll take this acrostic, make a prayer list out of it, and say, "Lord, help me to do that and that and that and that." If you do these seven things, friends, you're going to have the blessing of God on your life. And I want to give these things to you tonight. Again, nothing new. This is very simple. This is very, very simple. But yet it's truths that we need to be reminded of, especially as we're going into a brand new year. First of all, the letter N. God help us this year to number our days. Now, look at Psalm 90, verse number 12. Now, again, we're going to turn to several places now. Psalm 90, verse 12, notice, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Turn to James chapter. Hold your place in Psalms, because we're coming back to Psalms as we travel through this. But look at James chapter 4, verse number 14. Psalm 90, verse 12, number your days. Teach us, Lord, to number our days. James chapter 4, verse 14. The Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Now, notice the statement that I've got under here. Time is so precious, with every moment being one we can never get back. Now, I want you to think about that. Now, we know that. I'm talking about mentally, we understand that statement. But do we really live like that's the truth? I mean, every moment, you cannot get it back. It's gone. And it's like this. You either invest that time or you spend that time. If you spend it, it's gone and it's not coming back. You invest it in eternity and it's going to pay dividends. So I want to challenge you here to invest your time. Don't just spend your time. Let us live this year numbering our days. In other words, let us realize each day could be the last day on earth we have. Therefore, if you're ever going to do something for the Lord, do it today. If you need to get something right with God, do it today. If somebody's lost and need to be saved today. Why? Because the Bible teaches us, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And what I mean by number your days is realize this is the only time you know you have. Use it wisely. Husbands and wives, children and parents, brothers and sisters, on and on we could go. Realize this may be the only day you have to do what you need to do. Now, we don't live in fear. We live by faith. But we also live in reality of what the Word of God teaches. The fact of the matter is this. Nobody's promised that you're going to get home tonight. Nobody is. Now, I trust I am. I hope I am. I have my plans to make it back home. But the fact of the matter is, nobody has a promise that you are going to be here this time tomorrow. Nobody has that promise. God's given that promise to nobody. He's promised nobody that. And I'm going to tell you something. If this first letter would grip us, it'd change our life. I mean, if we really believe that today could be our last day, don't you think that'd change our attitude about some things? Absolutely. If we live like today could be my last day, you think you'll read your Bible? You think you'll pray that day? If somebody's lost in your family, you think you're going to witness to them? It changed our life, friends. Number your days. We all need to do that. By the way, that's one reason that if you're coming in here tonight, and I hope this is nobody here, I'm talking to married couples. This is one reason why some marriages just keep going on and on and on, and it's never getting right, never getting right, never getting right. It's always trouble. The fact of the matter is somebody in that marriage is taking time for granted. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I love my wife more than life. I'd lay my life down for my wife. I'd lay my life down for my children, my family. At least I hope I would. I'm saying to you as a man, I would, and I trust that I would if it came down to that. And I'm going to tell you something. There are times that we need to understand this could be the last moment that I ever see her on planet Earth. If it is, I'm going to leave the house different. I'm not just going to go out of the house without hugging her and maybe kissing her and saying, honey, I love you. Now, I've been guilty of that. Sure, nobody in here has ever done something like that, you know. But if we will stop and realize, wait a minute, I'm not promising I'm going to be here. When I leave in the morning, I've got my plans to go home for lunch. But listen, I'm not promising my next breath. So I need to live numbering my days. Letter E, these are just things to do this year. Number your days. Letter E, exalt the Lord daily. Look at Psalm 99. Look at Psalm 99. We're going to look at different psalms here. Look at Psalm 99, verse 5. Again, these are simple truths, basic truth, stuff that I hope you'll take this sheet and make it a prayer list. I mean, it's just simple. Psalm 99, verse 5, exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Look at verse 9. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Flip back to Psalm 95, verse number 6. Psalm 95, verse number 6. The Bible says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Look at Psalm 29 and verse number 2. Psalm 29, verse number 2. I want you to turn to these passages because I want you to see these verses. Let them speak to your heart. Psalm 29, verse number 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Look at Psalm 34, verse number 3. These passages are typed out for you here. I'm talking about at least the references. Psalm 34, verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And then Psalm 100. It's a great exalting psalm, a great psalm that just praises the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Now, read this with me here. Our lives are to be lived each day to exalt the Lord. In a world that pushes the elevation of self, let us not fall prey to that teaching and even to that tendency. Rather, let us realize we exist to uplift the Lord, not ourselves. This year, let us live our lives each day to bring glory and honor to our great God, for he is truly worthy. Let us exalt him in our words, in our actions, and in our thoughts. The idea here is this: if I'm in this life to exalt the Lord, then it's going to help me think right. It's going to help me speak right. It's going to help me act right. By the way, if this church's goal is to exalt the Lord, it handles everything else in life. There are certain kinds of music that will never come in this place if we're going to exalt the Lord. There are certain kinds of things that will never be allowed here if we're going to exalt the Lord. May I say this to you? When exalting the Lord is your goal, it makes you free as a bird. It really does. It frees you up. Because the fact of the matter is, you no longer care, or excuse me, maybe saying you no longer care is strong, but I am going to say that, but not coming across arrogant. But you no longer care what man thinks. You see what I'm saying? If you're out to exalt God, the only thing you're consumed with is, God, does this please you? If it pleases you, who cares if it pleases them or not? Amen tonight. I'm telling you, we need to exalt God daily. We need to stop before we say that and say, is this going to exalt God? We need to stop before we listen to that and say, wait a minute, is what I'm listening to exalting God? May I say this to you? Everything we do as God's children, we are either magnifying him or we are minimizing him. Everything we do. Everything we do, we're either praising him or we're not. And we need to exalt the Lord daily. Now, the W, here we go. Walk with God daily. Look at Micah. Chapter number 6 and verse number 8. Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8. Yes, that is in the Bible. Micah, that's the name of the book. Chapter 6, verse number 8. The Bible says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, if you'd like to turn there with me, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 17. The Bible says here, it says, pray without ceasing. So the Bible says in Micah 6:8, what does the Lord require of thee? And then at the end it says, walk humbly with thy God. And may I say, you cannot have a walk with God without a prayer life. Pray without ceasing. And then back in the book of Joshua, chapter number 1 and verse number 8, Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, notice this statement under it. This year, determine. Determine to have a daily walk with God. This means to walk in the consciousness of His presence. You cannot do this without having a time each day to spend with God in His Word and in prayer. If you're spending time with God, walking with God, it's not going to be a silent walk, friends. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to talk to Him. Don't let a day go by without spending some time daily in the Word of God. And don't let a day go by without spending some time daily in prayer. And may I encourage you, multiple times throughout the day. You know what the Lord's challenging me with? Every now and then I'll be so busy and I'll be doing this and doing it, and all of a sudden the thought hits me, go pray. And immediately the devil says, you got so much to do. May I say this to you? It is not the devil saying, go pray. It's the Holy Spirit. You know what He teaches me? He still teaches you. You're looking at a pastor. He's still working on me, friends. I have not arrived. I am too far from where I need to be. And I'm telling you what He's teaching me. I need Him more than He needs me. Amen. And you know something else I've learned? I've learned that when I walk with God, He helps me get what I need to get done that day. But when I don't, I struggle. Now, I'm reading the Bible every day. I'm praying every day. But just because I'm reading the Bible and praying doesn't mean I'm walking with Him. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I'm not saying just spend time in the Bible, pray. No, I'm saying walk with God. That's what I'm saying. What's the Bible say? The Bible says Enoch walked with God. That's what the Bible says. That means you're walking step in step with Him. You want to hear what He has to say. Hey, you're so close to Him, He's listening to you and you're listening to Him. Is that how close your walk is? He wants to walk with you. Think about that. God wants to walk with you. He wants you to draw close to Him, and He wants you to and He wants to draw close to you. Why don't you determine that you're going to get closer to God than you ever have been in your life this year? Why don't you determine this year you're going to walk closer to Him than you ever have? Ever. That's the W. The Y kind of goes along with this. And that is yield to the Holy Spirit's control. Now, look at Romans chapter 6 and verse number 13. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 13. The Bible says in Romans 6 verse number 13, it says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18, the Bible puts it this way, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, in that verse, it's interesting, as some of you have already heard me kind of explain this verse a little bit, that the Bible puts being drunk with wine and it contrasts it with being filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. According to my understanding, now I've not preached with this book, I've not studied this verse out, but just according to my understanding, just like strong drink can influence you to make things, I'm talking about make decisions, do things that you typically would not do, you can come under the influence of that strong drink, and now you are acting according to what it's telling you to do. In the same way, God says don't do that with wine, but let the Spirit do that with you. Be filled with the Spirit. By the way, that's a command. That is not an option. That's a direct command of Scripture. You notice the language, but be filled with the Spirit. That's not a suggestion. He's commanding His children to do that. Dr. Tom Farrell explained the filling of the Holy Spirit better than I think I've ever heard it explained, because he's explained it in such a simple way. He said, being filled with the Spirit, to help you understand what that means, he said, say that there is just like a batting glove or just a work glove, you know, with five fingers, and you lay that glove down on the pulpit right there and you walk away from it and say, okay, walk over here to me. Bring me that glass of water. It says it cannot do that because it doesn't have the ability to do that. It can't do anything of itself. But he says, if I take my hand and fill it up, it's now filled with my hand. Now it does what I do. If I make a fist, it makes a fist. If I point, it points. Whatever I do, my ability is now in it, and it can do anything that I have the ability of doing. That's the Holy Spirit filling, friends. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, he said, without me, you can do nothing. But when we are filled with the Spirit of God, that means we are led of the Spirit of God. That means we are influenced by the Spirit of God. That means we are doing what He wants to do. We're going where He wants to go. We are living what, I'm talking about the way He wants to live. If He makes a fist, we do. He points, we point. I mean, we are influenced. We are yielded to Him. We are living in accordance to the Holy Spirit of God. I had Brother Brad ask me yesterday. We were out making some visits, and he asked me this question. It got me thinking, and the Lord immediately gave me an answer. He basically asked me, he said, Pastor, he said, let me ask you this question. If you could have one thing this year for the church, what would it be? If God said, I'm going to give you one thing, and one thing only, what would it be? Two words came to my mind. Fresh oil. Because going back to the candlestick, the oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. You know what we need more of? Not more programs. We have them. We're getting ready to start a new ministry. Not new ministries. We have them. We don't need, are you listening to me? We don't even need more people. Now, I hope we get them, okay? We want them. I'd like the whole Tri-Cities to come to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Nobody wants any more numbers than I do, friends. But we don't need more numbers. We need more yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. And by, that's what I need. I need to do that. You listening to me? If I yield to the Holy Spirit of God and He fills me up on a daily basis, it takes care of everything else. Because if I am filled with the Spirit of God, then that means the Spirit of God is guiding me, leading me, and everything else. It means what He does, I do. Where He goes, I go. What He wants, I want. What He would say is what I'm saying. You get it? Yield to the Holy Spirit's control. This year determine, I'm reading now, to yield yourself to the control of the Holy Spirit. This means you live a life of immediate and complete obedience to the Lord's will for your life. Go where He wants you to go. Say what He wants you to say. Do what He wants you to do. Think what He wants you to think. Question. If half this crowd here tonight would do that, it would turn this church in a direction that maybe none of us ever thought it could ever go. And that starts right here with me. You know what I'm convinced of? I am convinced that too many Christians think they're Spirit-filled and they don't even understand what it means. I'm convinced of that. If I ask the average person here tonight, are you filled with the Spirit of God? The average answer would be, yes, I am. When the Spirit comes, He will not speak of Himself. But He will do what? He's going to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't exalt Himself. He exalts the Lord. You know what this tells me? Somebody says, I'm Spirit-filled, but they never speak about Christ. That's not Spirit-filling. Somebody says, I'm Spirit-filled. I don't read the Bible every day. Then you don't understand the Spirit. I'm talking about Spirit filling. See, being filled with the Spirit means exactly what He would do is what you're doing. Is what you're doing exactly what the Holy Spirit would do? Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's convicting, friends. Is the way I speak to others the way He wants me to speak? Am I yielded to the Holy Spirit of God? Then the E here is engage in soul winning. Now this should be Proverbs 11:30. That's a typo on my part. Proverbs 11:30. It says, he that winneth souls is wise. And then in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20, this is the story of the maniac of Gadara. Remember where the man is cutting himself, crying out. He's unclothed. He's naked. He's crying out. They're putting chains on him. He plucks them off of him. This is all in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. Jesus changes his life. Now he's clothed, sitting in his right mind. And the crowd comes out. It scares them. They kick Jesus out of town. He wants to go with Jesus. And the Lord says, no, go home and tell thy friends what great things the Lord hath done for you, hath had compassion on you. So the Lord sent him back home to the same people who kicked him out of town. He sent his man that he led to Christ back home as a witness, to witness to them about the change that God did in his life. Get this. Now you hear a lot about this from this pulpit, and you hear a lot about soul winning and so on. I do not want to browbeat people. I really don't. I do not want to make people feel this big if they're not soul winning. But I do want to challenge you with this. I do want you to understand that God left you here for a reason, and it's not to talk about money. It's not to talk about sports. It's not to talk about your family. It's to talk about the Lord and salvation in Him. That's why He left us here, friends. That's why we're on planet Earth. This year, determined to engage in soul winning. You say, I'm scared to death. Join the crowd. You say, I don't know what I'm going to say, and I open a door. Join the crowd. There's nothing you can say that I've not dealt with myself, friends. You say, I can't do it. Join the crowd. I'm a stutterer. I honestly stutter all the time. I just did. I can't believe sometimes that God called me to pastor, God called me to preach, spend my living telling people, speaking words for Him. I can hardly believe that because I'm a stutterer. I get nervous, I freeze up. My stuttering is not just repeating myself. My stuttering is freezing up where nothing comes out. And as I've told you before, the devil tries to use that to keep me from going because he tries to say, listen, you're going to knock on somebody's door and just be standing there. Not even be able to get your name out of your mouth. Can you imagine? And I may come do that to you, you know. But anyway, you know what I've learned? Have I stuttered at the door? Yes, some, but not a lot. And you know what I've noticed? I've noticed that whatever the devil tries to use to keep me from doing God's will, God can use that same thing to keep me humble and dependent on Him and get me to trust Him instead of myself. Because I know if I don't trust Him, I'm not speaking to you tonight. I know if I don't trust Him, I will stand there and just look at somebody. But God helps me. Now, may I say this to you? Am I intimidated to go sometimes? Yes. Yes. Are there times when I'm like, I don't know if I want to go to that house? Yes. Yes. You say, then why do you do it? Because I have a command. And I'm commanded to go. If I don't go, hey, here's my choice. Either disobey God or obey the Lord in spite of my fears. By the way, there's a reason people get afraid to go soul winning. It's because the devil fights against it. He doesn't like it. He's trying to tell you, you do this, hey, somebody's going to blow your head off. Hey, you do this, hey, you don't know what's on the other side of that door. You know what I've learned? Just this week, what you and I experienced, just yesterday, pulling up to a street and a gentleman standing out on his porch with his dog out in the yard. They go up to him and find out that he says, no, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm saved. He allowed us to go through the gospel with him. Long story short here, he was a Christian. And through that visit, he got assurance of his salvation, and he said this. He said, I've got cancer. And God had him out in the freezing cold with short sleeves on just to go out and walk his dog, but God knew we were going to that same street and put that man out on the porch so when he lays his head on his pillow, I'm talking about last night, he even looked sick, if you understand what I'm saying to you. You could tell the man's sick, he's got cancer, no doubt he's afraid, but now he knows, even though he was already saved, he didn't know it, he was doubting, but now he knows for sure he's going to heaven. God led in that. And I'm talking about the next door over, just one door down, there was a gentleman, Brad on him like a dog, just right over there, he went to him. And the man out on his front porch, he's looking everywhere, all that, and says, I do not know I'm going to heaven. We share the gospel with him. I make it very easy on him to say no. And he says, I want to trust Christ. And he bowed his head, prayed, and asked God to come into his heart and life. And at the end of it, we said, where are you going now? He said, I'm going to heaven. I said, how do you know that? He said, because I asked God to forgive my sin. That happened yesterday. You say, Jody, why are you sharing that? I'm sharing that because it was cold. Hey, can I say this? Sometimes I'd rather be home sipping on some hot chocolate. There's sometimes I don't even want to come to church, and I'm the pastor of this place. But I do it anyway because I've got a command of God. May I say this to you? Engage. Why don't you say, I'm scared to death, God? But I'm going to engage in soul winning because you've told me to do that. Why don't you do that this year? We'll help you. We'll help you. We'll help you. Go with me. Laugh at me doing it for a while. Go with me and watch me stutter to somebody and say, God, if he could do it, surely I can. Do it. God will bless your life for that. He'll bless you for that. The A, attend church faithfully. Now, I'm not going to dwell here because I've already given you all these things when I was taking you through the introduction book to the church. But let me just say this to you. Look at the last phrase. Determine this year that you're not going to miss one service that you are able to come to. Why don't you just decide, God, you're going to have to knock me out. If the church doors are open, I'm there. Let me ask you a question. What are you going to lose by doing that? What are you going to lose? Nothing. But I'll tell you what you may gain. You may come on a Wednesday night when you typically don't come. Now, you're here. God bless you. But you may come back on a Wednesday night when you don't feel like... By the way, you know something else I've noticed? I've noticed when I don't feel like coming or I don't feel like doing it is the time God was trying to bless. And could it be that you come home and you're worn out and the devil says, take it easy, God knows. Your muscles are worn out, hey, take it easy. It's just one service. Could it be that that's the service that you needed the most? You say, I can watch it live, yeah, but let me tell you this, if you're watching it live and God wants you here, he's not going to bless that either, amen. I'm telling you, God wants his church to be a priority. And it needs to be in my life and your life. I salute you because you're here on a Wednesday night. Thank you for doing the right thing. Then we close with the R. That is, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4 and look at verse number 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4. I'll explain this to you, what I mean by rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Now, when you come to the book of Philippians, you come to a book where Paul's missionary journeys are now completed. Paul's missionary journeys are over. There'll be no more church planting, all these kind of things. He's sitting in a Roman jail cell. Some people believe that he was chained to a Roman guard for 24 hours a day with no privacy whatsoever. Things were not going good for him. He was sitting in a jail cell that's a lot worse than the jail cells today in the United States of America, okay? He was sitting there. He could have complained and done anything, but notice what he said. He said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And notice he didn't say be happy. He didn't say be happy always. And he didn't say rejoice in this prison. No, he said rejoice. See, happiness depends on what happens to you. Joy is trust. Peace. That's joy. Trust. Rely. Are you listening to me? No matter what life throws at you, it may take your happiness, but it does not have to take your joy. And what I mean by rejoice in the Lord always is no matter what life throws at you, God is always good. He makes no mistakes. The book of Habakkuk, you don't need to turn to it for time's sake here because I'm just about through. But in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, listen to this. Habakkuk says, although the fig tree shall not blossom. So, in other words, the fig tree is not yielding its fruit. Neither shall fruit be in the vine. The labor of the olive shall fail. So, in other words, the labor of the olive, it's failing. It's not succeeding. The field shall yield no meat. So, everything they've planted, nothing's coming up. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. In other words, his animals are depleted, and he goes to the stalls where he would have his animals, and there's no animals there. He says, although this shall be, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You know what Habakkuk was saying? He's saying, if life is awful, if the trees are not yielding their fruit, if my animals are gone, if everything I plant refuses to come up, if everything like this takes place, although this takes place, I've made up my mind, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Let me read this. We're not to live in fear, but by faith. With this being said, we do not realize that this year could be the best year of our lives. Or the worst. The greatest things may happen to us this year, or the worst things could happen. Some may lose their health, some may lose their job, some may even lose their life, or some may lose the life of a loved one this year. But the point I'm trying to make here is for us to determine that no matter what takes place, good or bad, we will rejoice in the Lord. Our God is good all the time. He makes no mistakes. By the way, if your life is on the up and up right now, if you're on the mountaintop, right now is the time you need to determine that. And if your life's down in the valley somewhere, your life is a wreck, and I mean, you just feel like it's getting deeper and deeper down and down, my message to you is this: don't blame God. Bless God. Don't cast blame on Him. Look unto Him and ask Him to help you rejoice no matter what. Easy to say, hard to do, right? You know, I'm watching somebody right now live by this. I'm watching several people live by this in this church. There's a lot of people who that life's thrown a curveball at them. There's a lot of people that this year, I'm talking about health-wise, has been the worst year of their life. But I'm watching them rejoice in the Lord in the midst of it. That's a blessing and that's a challenge. May we not be a people that's guilty of rejoicing in God and praising Him because our life's on the mountain. By the way, if your life's on the mountaintop, it's Him who got you there. And you still need to rejoice in Him. He's the one that put you there. If you're in the valley, that doesn't mean He put you there. But friends, it doesn't mean that He made a mistake either. He's trying to do something great. No matter even if the devil puts you there, your God is big enough to use that very experience that the devil has put in your life and make it into a blessing if you rejoice in the Lord always. What are we going to do this year? There's a lot of things we could do. But why don't we start numbering our days, exalting the Lord, walking with God, yielding to the Holy Spirit, engaging in soul winning, attending church, and rejoicing in the Lord no matter what happens. You do those things, that's a pretty good start to having a good year for the glory of God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, we love You. I pray You'll take these thoughts and use them. May the will of God be done, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I don't want to let a service come and go without giving you an opportunity of trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Could it be that you've come to this Wednesday night service, but you've never trusted Christ? Could it be that you're here tonight, but you are not born again? as they begin to play through softly, when we give an invitation, we want to invite you to Jesus Christ. Come tonight. We'll be happy to take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Or maybe tonight you just want to come and ask the Lord to help you to have the best year spiritually that you've ever had. The best year spiritually that you've ever had. I'm going to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. If you'd like to come and ask God to give you a good year this year, spiritually speaking, for Him, for His glory. And I want to invite you to step up and come on down to the altar. Ask God to help you. As Brother Gary sings, you come now. Would you do that?
Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I freely give.
Number of your days, exalt the Lord. Walk with God. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Engage in soul winning. Attend church. Rejoice in the Lord no matter what happens. Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the privilege of preaching your word again. Thank you for this year that you gave us. Thank you for bringing us to this last day of this year. And I pray that you'll help us to take these thoughts that we learned about tonight and apply them to our lives. I pray that you help me to live by this, Lord. And I pray, our Father, that you will fill us with your power and your spirit. May we yield to your spirit. I pray on a daily basis. Bless the fellowship to follow, the food that will be taken. Keep everybody safe over there and injury-free. Bless now as we go into a new year. May this be the best year in the history of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. May you do more in our midst this year than you ever have. Do it for yourself. Do it for your glory. Do it for your honor and your praise. And help us to be careful to give you the glory, honor, and praise, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. If you're going to the gymnasium, it should be open down the hallway. Maybe open outside, but I encourage you to go down the hallway. If you brought a change of clothes, food, all of that, you are dismissed. Thank you for coming tonight. God bless you.